Good morning. I'm Andrea Bernstein with Bridget Bergen and Anna Sale. So, Bridget, you were in court all week. The stories that you've been telling me sound so surreal.
What was the most compelling part of what we saw this week was they started to play some of this secret video and audio that was filmed over the course of the investigation. And so this first clip is set in a bakery in Chinatown. The woman's voice who you hear is a woman named Mei Hua Ru. She also works in City Comptroller Mayoral Hopeful John Liu's office. And then there's another voice, and I'll tell you who that is afterwards. Let's listen to it.
John Liu, they once called him the fundraising prodigy. Call him a prodigy, because he can raise money.
Well, he's got everything going for him. He's equivalent to the Asian JFK. He's got the looks. Got the, he could talk.
He's got the looks.
You like that? You like that little twang in his voice? Does anybody notice the little twang?
Texas. Is he really from Texas, or was that acting?
That was a legitimate Texan. And so over the course of his testimony on Friday, we heard and watched multiple videos of this guy with a Southern accent who speaks fluent Mandarin and fluent English testify about how he posed as this businessman to try and cozy up to the Liu campaign. And ultimately heard about this straw donor scheme that they hatched.
I love this. You show up in New York City to be an FBI informant, and you're like, I know how I'll fit in. I'll have a Texas accent.
Right?
That's how people will trust me.
It is a crazy thing. I mean, I just cannot think of a time when a candidate, an active candidate for mayor, now we are 5 months away from the primary election, had two of his aides go on trial for a fundraising scheme and just be full steam ahead, talking to people.
I mean, he says
going
he's glad,
to forums, sending
he's happy
out
the
statements.
Trial started. And ultimately, what he continues to say is this agent induced, you know, Oliver Pan. He never would have done it had it not been for this guy's encouragement. I had
they're
nothing
just,
to do with
just
it.
They're just pushing their way through this. Unlike, say, Anthony Weiner, right, who was like, I'm resigning, and now maybe he's back, right? We saw this very strange website this week, which is what, Anna?
It's his old website, but it's back online, anthonyweiner.com. You go there and you see blog posts from 2011. From when he was in Congress. So it's not updated, but it's back online. One other interesting thing, he put out this policy book at the very beginning of the week, which was an updated policy book from the last time he was looking at a run for mayor. You go to the back to see what the contact information is. When he was running before, it was something like info@anthonyweiner.com. This time around, it was anthonyweiner@aol.com, which you might not remember, but that was an email address that came out as one of the ones that he used to exchange pictures over the internet in the scandal that brought him down to begin with. So he's still using that AOL account.
Like, he couldn't set up a new Gmail account or something. I mean, come
I know,
on.
Right? It's like, is AOL even still exist? 15%. He's number two in the polls.
Here's what we got this week. We got two polls that looked at how would Anthony Weiner actually affect the race. The expectation was that he would particularly hurt public advocate Bill de Blasio. What we found in two polls this week, both the Marist poll and the Quinnipiac poll, was if Anthony Weiner gets in the race, would be about second in the field Democrats. Christine Quinn would still be in first. But he pulls support from Christine Quinn, Bill de Blasio, and Bill Thompson. So it's not as if he pulls all his support from Bill de Blasio. So when I talked to Lee Marengoff of the Mayor's poll, he said, this basically says the people who are saying they support these candidates, they're not too excited about these candidates.
Right.
It's soft support. So it's not so much that Anthony Weiner is a candidate that people want to flock to, but also that they're not pleased with the field.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because the thing that sort of tipped me off on what was going on here was the Thompson numbers, because the Thompson numbers went down when Anthony Weiner gets in. And really, it's the Jews. There's no Jewish candidate in the race, and Anthony Weiner is the Jewish candidate. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I am getting a lot of commentary this week from Democrats who I've been talking to who are saying, I don't know, you know, do I vote for the first woman, first lesbian, you know, even if I feel like maybe her politics are more conservative than some of the other Democrats in the field. So that's a kind of active discussion that I'm hearing among Democratic primary voters. And if you're Chris Quinn, you don't want that, right? Don't you want just inevitability?
No, absolutely. But I mean, that's to our whole discussion on polls. That's the soft support. That's that nobody has, you know, broken away with this race. That the possibility that someone like Anthony Weiner could enter at this stage in the game, this late in the cycle.
Cuomo, right? Even Cuomo got into the sort of mayor's race discussion, kind of, through his absence, right? Anna, you want to set up this clip?
Yeah, I just thought this was a nice moment this week. It was Governor Cuomo was ending a press conference. The one thing he doesn't want to talk about is what he thinks about Anthony Weiner.
What do you think about Anthony Weiner getting into the mayor's race?
I have no comment on that. This press conference is over. Thank you very much.
I mean, you don't hear Governor Cuomo laugh very much, so that was a nice moment.
Thanks, Bridget. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks.